circle back to the stipulated final orders. Going to be item number 22. I believe we have some folks who wanted to appear by phone on that one.
The phone has been unplugged.
These are two separate phone calls to conference.
Can you turn back on, hopefully?
It's flashing. I think we're good.
Right.
It's still loading.
Which so, number are we going to be on right now?
I'm sorry, 22.
22.
Page 9.
Network is down. It's flashing.
I'm going to mix it all up.
It wasn't. It came up on the gym, right?
Okay, I think it's good. It's flashing because the time isn't correct. So we're going to give this a go.
Who's KB10? Is that Lloyd?
Must be.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
And then when you sign, it should just send it to you.
This
is Katie.
Hi, Katie. This is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, and you're on speakerphone, but I'm going to conference in Mr. Harrell. Okay? Hold on. Just a moment.
Thank you. Try this one more time. Just a minute, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, it's Craig.
Hello, Mr. Harrell. I'm going to conference you in with Katie Tate. This is the Ethics Commission. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Katie and Craig, you're there?
Yes.
Katie here.
Great.
Okay, very good. Good morning, Mr. Harrell and Ms. Tang. Thank you very much for joining us. This is the time to discuss the proposed stipulated final order regarding Mr. Harrell's case. So we're going to begin with a staff report, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, Vice Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Craig Harrell is the District Manager for the Central Oregon Irrigation District. On December 14th of last year, the Commission made preliminary findings of two violations of the prohibited use of office for obtaining overtime compensation in violation of his employment contract and using the District's credit card for personal travel expenses when traveling for the District. Mr. Harrell repaid the latter amount to the District. The stipulated final order requires Mr. Harrell to pay a total of $2,074 over a five-month period. The penalty matrix in this case called for an assessment between $207 at the low end and $4,148 at the high end. The amount in this settlement is $2,074, which is half the maximum amount allowed under the matrix. Mr. Harrell has signed the stipulated final order, which is in your meeting book for approval. And Mr. Harrell and his attorney, Katie Tank, are on the phone.
All right. Any questions for staff? Okay. Ms. Tank or Mr. Harrell, this would be your opportunity to say anything if you'd like.
I'd just like to say thank you for the opportunity to work with the staff at the commission. Myself and the district have taken steps to ensure that there are no future violations, and I think this is a fair agreement if the commission should accept it.
Thank you. Ms. Tank, is there anything you'd like to add?
Just a few follow-up points. These were the first ethics charges that were filed against Mr. Harrell, and the two violations were found as expressed by staff. And as Mr. Harrell mentioned, he and COID have taken steps to ensure no future violations occur, and Mr. Harrell personally has taken these charges and these hearings very seriously. He's attended all of the hearings, either personally or over the phone, and I appreciate working with commission staff in good faith to reach this agreement. This amount is not nominal. It's a significant amount for Mr. Harrell, and we think it's a fair resolution, and we hope the commission will accept it.
Thank you very much. All right, any questions? Any commissioners? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
The acceptance of the stipulated agreement.
Okay, so moved. Any discussion on the motion? We'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fistum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Harrell, Ms. Tank. We appreciate you joining us, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay. So we are now jumping down to item 28, which is review of the proposed commission meeting calendar for next year.
We did Mr. Anderson, item 23, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so I appreciate that, Chair. So this is the proposed calendar. I think Virginia sent it out to everybody. Like I said, I apologize for the extra meeting to accommodate my wife and I's trip to Africa next year. So you'll see there in the July, August, there's one extra meeting put in here so that we can meet our statutory timelines of 180 days for investigations.
Anyway, we don't have to do it on Valentine's Day again.
Last time I got into a crash on the way home because it was raining and I was trying to get home.
They were each going to get chocolate hearts for on Valentine's Day.
Oregon's birthday.
Yes.
You know, if you want to move it to a Thursday or something like that, I think that's fine. If we move it too many days, we just start messing with those darn days a bit. But you okay with Valentine's Day?
I'll likely be out. I mean, it's funny, but I'm sort of serious that I'd rather not do it that day.
On Friday.
Yeah. Because it's on a Friday, too.
Have a long weekend.
Have a long weekend.
Do we want to bump it to the Thursday, then? Is that a problem for you?
Or Wednesday, or Tuesday? I
think it'll still work, the Thursday. You guys okay down there?
Yeah.
So the date would be
Thursday the 13th.
February 13th.
Yeah. Perfect. That makes sense. There's a long weekend there too. Well, no flowers.
just know when we get home, folks, we're each telling our spouses that it was us that said that we had to move it.
If you are wrong, we're going to make you work on Valentine's Day.
And I hope next year I'm not like sitting alone on Friday the 14th. It's possible. Darn, I could have been at the ethics.
Yeah. So, okay, very good.
Okay, so with that change.
Yeah.
This isn't something we voted on in the past. It's just for information.
You get to make it so.
All right. We will get that posted on the website so that folks know what our meeting schedule will be for next year.
Okay. All right. And then the trainer's report.
Okay. All right. Chair Sosa and commissioners, I'm Monica Walker, and I'm doing the training report. So in your meeting materials, you have a listing of upcoming training and training that has been completed, as well as the August webinar. If
If you'd like to attend any of those, please let Tammy or myself know if you're interested, and we're happy to accommodate and help with that. As far as training report updates, Tammy recently provided a training to the Oregon Employment Department. They initially actually contacted us to inquire about or to ensure they are being good stewards about their public funds, which is really not something that we have jurisdiction over. But in the course of the conversation, they became interested in receiving some training. So Tammy had set that up, and she actually conducted the training, and it was a real eye-opener for them. They had management mainly attend. It was a real eye-opener for them, and so now they're interested in setting a regular schedule, kind of like a quarterly training sessions with them, and also to include just regular staff and not just management. And so we are working with them to establish a regular schedule there. We were also recently contacted by the City of Milwaukee to provide ethics training to an established citizens jury that they've established. And the citizens jury meeting will be held the weekend of August 10th and 11th. Diane will be providing the training for that and representing the commission there. The topic of conversation, the reason for the citizens jury was to that the reason that they were formed to assist the City of Milwaukee in evaluating how much should City Council members be paid. And they're looking for the Commission to provide information on any ethical implications that are related to an elected official's compensation, as well as to be available to answer any questions regarding ethics laws that the citizens' jury panelists may have. So Diane will be attending that and representing the commission there. We also have staff is currently reviewing the changes that may need to be made to training materials based on the last legislative session. So we're reviewing those changes to make sure that our training materials are all updated appropriately.
So that implies that this citizens group are public officials under the law, and are they? I mean, public meetings laws might apply because they're advising the public body, but I thought that only the volunteers are only considered public officials if they are
serving the local government body
functions, not just advising, because I've never assumed that just every advisory committee member is a public official that has to comply with all the ethics acts. And
we have a long list of factors that you have to think about whether they're public officials, if they're serving.
Yeah, I'm not doing the standard training. It's actually a panel. It's an experiment with PFU and citizens juries. It's just a new concept they're trying out.
That's great. It sounds a little weird, but it's great. but I don't want to sort of set a precedent or I don't want us to kind of blur the line as to who the Ethics Act applies to, because it only applies to public officials, and we don't want to imply that every advisory committee member is necessarily a public official.
That's not what it's going to be about. I should have clarified this. It's they're inviting several experts to talk as a panel to talk to the citizens jury about different facets of what they could run into with deciding how much city councilors may get paid in the City of Milwaukee. So all I'm going to do is talk about how the advice that we've written in the past is that city councilors cannot vote for their own compensation.
Oh, that kind of.
It's pertaining to the city councilors themselves.
Okay.
And I don't know if they'll be there or if it'll just be the citizen panel.
Great.
But that's
great.
What it is.
Thank
I'm
you.
Not doing like ethics trainings for the
Got it. Thank
jury.
You.
Okay. Any other questions for our training staff? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Okay, Executive Director's Report. Last item.
That on. So again, our last year's budget, because it's not current, I guess, anymore, but we're still projected to have over a 6% surplus in last year's budget, which is going to come in very handy in this year's budget, on this biennial budget. At the end of session, there was some cost that rose up significantly. One was the AG's office.
Don't
blame Amy. It's not her fault. Yeah, she doesn't call us. We call her, so in all fairness. But the nice thing about this agency, by us having the excess funds and our ending balance, is that we do not have to go back to try to change our assessments any. Because you might know that we put our price list out, it's going to come out probably in February of next year for the 21-23 biennium. So we have to project out quite a ways ahead of time how much money we need. Once that price list is there, that's what they build everybody's budgets on, like how much they're going to pay for us. And so it's hard for us to change that, as opposed to if you're a regulatory agency, you could raise your fees up to try to cover that. So what they'll do is they'll give us additional limitation to spend, but we already have the money in the bank for us, because we've saved it this biennium. So even though our AG costs, and there's some other costs too with DAS that are going up, we have the money there to take care of that. So they're probably not going to increase the limitation until the February session, because one of the things because I asked them to do it right away for us because we had the funds, but there's a lot of agencies that are licensed agencies and they don't have the funds to do this. So they're going to have to talk about the bigger issue in February as far as changing people's limitations and finding ways to fund other fund agencies like us to pay for these increased costs. So it's hard to talk about. I guess the 17-19, we should have our what they call month 13 in, which will be like kind of those last little bills that come in at the end of the year that don't actually make it within the month. So we'll close out the 17-19 biennium, and we're already starting up the 19-21 biennium. Legislative bills. I gave you a list of all these bills that have passed. Not all of them are signed. I think it's something you folks should look at. Some of these bills, like we got to talking about SB 478, which is kind of a whole new area for us to look into on non-disclosure agreements around sexual harassment. One of the things that Amy had pointed out is they use the definition of who it covers as a public official. They use the definition from elections of what a public official is, and oh, here it is. So what public office means, and the problem there is that definition actually includes some federal public offices that we've never had any authority over. So our five representatives and our two senators on a national level. So we pointed that out to the governor in our blue sheet, which a blue sheet is just kind of a cheat sheet for the governor, cliff notes basically for the governor on what she should look at in signing the bill. So we pointed out some of these, what we think are problems with the bill. So we'll see what happens there. But and we'll also see, because what we did, we put a fiscal on this saying that our investigators are full up right now with what we're doing, and so any other investigations is going to call for another investigator. Then again, they didn't give us more funds for it, but they will probably give us limitation to be able to do that with. So again, we'll use up some savings to come about for that. But look at the bills that passed. This one's pretty interesting that came out of the session. So
that's a quick question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Burson, eventually it is all off. In combination, is it fair to say, without having read all the bills, and thank you for this handout, that 478, if it were to become law, and 3377 assign the Ethics Commission new tasks that you have not been incorporated in your assignment in previous biennia? 3377, you have to at least keep records for lobbyists.
Yeah, and there's some additional work for us here. And so normally after session, we have about 6 months where we can, lack of a better phrase, slack off a bit before we have to start building the budget for the next biennium, because we start that in January of next year. But we are going to have to probably produce some administrative rules around some of this and try to figure out how we can do some of this work. But in the bill on 3377, that's a reporting bill, and we have talked with our vendor on that. But yeah, it does require a check mark that they have attended these trainings on their lobbyist reports. So putting that check mark in, and I was surprised, like, the cost they put in on that. Virginia's not here, but I think it was like $30,000 or so. And I mean,
without your vendor,
yeah, for the subscription fee for the year to be able to add this to it. So, but nobody, I will tell you, none of these bills that required reporting of harassment or any other, there was no resistance. They did not get scared on fiscal impacts at all.
So the legislature didn't get scared, is what you mean.
That's right. They went right through. And so, like I said, some of the stuff really wasn't, like I said, when Amy pointed out that we might be looking at a federal level here.
That was my second question, Ms. Alpaw, is it, help me with this, is it even possible for state law to regulate a federal official?
Well, it's a good question whether there's preemption. I don't know the answer. It certainly came up in my mind. Like,
it's sure a question for me is how us as a state agency could demand that the five representatives, if not two senators, have to do something with and for us.
Is it just elected?
It's elected, and it's and it is not an ethics law, even though the ethics has to enforce it, because there might be issues if it were a federal ethics law applying to the feds.
Yeah,
this is a different
curiosity,
law.
Yeah. Well, we pointed out to the governor, I mean, she does have line item veto, too, so we'll see. We'll keep you folks informed of what's going on.
I thought you had line item veto only the budget bill. I'm not saying that to utter truth, as
she can.
The fact of the matter is that the governor doesn't have, any governor, this one or previous one, doesn't have line item veto authority in any other case but a budget bill. Appropriation.
You could be right.
I don't think that's right, but I'm not sure.
No, yeah.
I think she can, like, veto like an emergency clause, for instance.
If I would have known that, I should have been lobbying differently for 25 years. Kill this line. Kill this.
So, anyway, now I give you a handout, kind of a little short synopsis, but we've included the actual bills, the enrolled bills, for you folks to take a look at.
Thank you.
Statement of economic interest, we're down to two people from this last year that haven't filed. I mean, look at the wide variety of folks that we have filing, and the level of sophistication with computers, that's really a testament to the front staff, Kathy and David, really working hard to get those folks filed. So,
I'm sorry, Ron, can you go over a little bit more what SB 355 does?
Maybe not.
That's the omnibus correction of law.
Oh, that's what it was. 355 was, we pointed out at the very beginning that they made a change to the law that
it's the law that gave the commission authority to promulgate rules.
To promulgate rules. They basically did one in the short session, and they didn't, since it wasn't printed out from the long session yet, they used the wrong one. And so by doing that, there was a question on whether we had the ability to actually promulgate rules. Because you might remember in the 15th session, we got authority to promulgate rules for executive session. So then in the 16th session, they made a change to it, but they used the old law when we didn't have it, and so that brought that up forward in the new law. Now, Legislative Council was saying that we probably have ability to promulgate rules, but AG said we probably don't. So, you know, you put a couple of lawyers in the room, you know, like I like two different things. So we asked them to fix that, and it basically goes into an omnibus bill of fixing all kinds of bills that were out there. So it is back now. However, it does not start until January.
Okay.
So that's why we had, like, we were promulgating some rules on the executive session, and you haven't seen that happen for a while because we're not quite sure if they would be valid or not. But they will be valid. It just, we just have to wait until January now to do that.
So. Thank you.
And can I ask about Senate Bill 72? Is it more the thing about travel awards? Mm-hmm. It seems that it's more about, it's not only about reporting, but it looks like it's no longer considered a gift.
That is correct. Okay. You might remember years ago, I think the commission, this is before I was here, actually put out an opinion on travel awards, and not just travel awards, but any credit card awards that were out there. By buying, you know, using them for your public purpose and getting those awards, that was a use of office.
Improper use of office, not gifts. Yeah. So that's no longer true, huh?
And good. So what DAS did at that time was they said everybody was trapped. Because what happened was there was people with the state of Oregon that travel a lot in their work, and somebody bragged at a dinner party or something saying they went to Hawaii on travel miles that they basically earned for the state, and so boom, they were in the legislature. In fact, Senator Strom, I remember that back then, and you know, we got, so they said no more of that, and so it was actually put into law, and it was only for state employees. So the law was very specific that state employees could not get the benefits, and so when they wanted to change that, I think they asked it, I want to say about 4 years ago, because it was costing DAS more money to keep track of the miles than what they were earning. So they asked me to get rid of it, and I said, well, you're going to have to change the state law.
Yeah.
And they went through a session, and it did not pass. And so this is the second time they've asked for it, and this time it did pass. So you will not be seeing those before us anymore.
If you inadvertently have your frequent flyer mile entered, you know, you violated it.
Yeah.
So
that was the
kids'
offer.
Yeah,
that
was the kids' offer. Right.
But it is only for state.
And but a lot of the locals have followed.
And it was in state law for state agencies that they were required to be considered as, they were not compensation and you could not use them.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
A lot of the locals have tried to get around that by putting it into their policies that it is considered part of compensation. But there's a lot of unclarity about it. And like the city auditor often finds that it's a violation.
It is not any longer.
Yeah.
Well, again, we have to look to see if there's an emergency clause. I don't know if there was. I suspect there was an emergency clause on that one. Mm-hmm. But if not, it'll start in January.
Says occurring on or after the effective date of the check.
So, but we did get rid of our attorney fees. However, again, that's for going forward. So, like we talked about today, that we're still on the hook for folks that have been before us before that law change, if we lose. So we're continuing the recruitment for the CS2 position. We went through the first round of interviews and did not come up with a viable candidate. And so, and there was some confusion when it went out because DAS, again, I don't know if everybody knows, but we changed our HR system in the state of Oregon to Workday. And so it's an off-the-shelf. You don't even have to work in it. So, yeah. But anyway, so it's an off-the-shelf product that we're all trying to get used to. The old HR system was, you know, from the 80s. It was very antiquated. So we're all trying to get used to it. Well, when we have DAS put these things out, they actually put it out as an investigator, too, even though it was a compliance specialist, too. Well, there's quite a big difference in pay between an investigator two and a compliance specialist two. So that was corrected during the time, but I don't think as many people were attracted to it. So we interviewed, Diane and I were part of the interview panel, and we just did not, like I say, come up with a viable candidate. So we reopened it with the correct CS2 designation, the correct pay, and the and I think we changed some of the desired attributes that we were looking for. So I think the last time I looked, there's 33 candidates that are in the system right now. So we're going to start those interviews back up on the 14th. No, it ends on the 14th. We'll start having they have to the 14th to apply. But we'll re-interview and hopefully get somebody in that position.
Hey, wrong question. That's putting you on the spot with your performance review coming up here in a few months. But is your staff being overworked, you know, during this gap of being short staff?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you folks saw today. You had a case that had, I mean, Diane should sometimes. These folks should bring in the materials they get. I mean, I got a complaint. Well, Diane, you put it on my desk yesterday or the day before that was 100 pages. And so
there's no workaround on trying to bring in temporary help in whatever way, shape, or form.
Well, we'd end up probably spending, because the ethics laws are difficult. We'd spend a lot of time just training those folks to do that.
Could you get an ADAG?
Well, we're already paying the AG's office a lot.
Worth every penny.
So they're at $200 and some an hour now. So
we're going to get an intern next year. Right?
Yes, I will work at an intern for next year from Willamette. So
Willamette Law.
Actually, I think it's not Willamette Law. It's Willamette. I think it's the
Ethics
School.
And Public Policy Department. I didn't even know they had one.
During the school year,
I can see that being a challenge. I mean, if you're down that kind of staff, I mean, obviously you have newer staff as well. That's being here what, like a year ish, give or take, right?
Nine months.
So, it's
fine.
Yeah, Susan's an exception. I got a kick out of. She has stepped right in and done a lot of work, but yes, it is hard. And like I said, the decision point was we had a person to talk to, but basically it's Diane's opinion that bringing them in to try to fill that hole might cause us more work in the end. And so I think we're better off.
It's always hard to go out again, but it's always worth it.
I think we're better off looking again. I think I say part of it was it was advertised to begin with at a much lower salary range, so we didn't get the kind of the qualifications that we normally see in those positions. And
part
so
of it too was the economy must be really good because people were dropping out all through the process, like before first interviews
and you guys
then after first interviews. And
yeah, we actually had a person that drove in, that got off work and drove in from Montana to interview with us, and was. I thought it was a Bible candidate, and when we talked about a second interview, he said, well, we drove down to U of O's grad school, and we got accepted there, so we're going to do that instead. So they went through Salem, and we went down to the grad program, and they decided education over a job. So, I mean, I hope it works out for them, because they were an excellent candidate, but we'll see what happens. So I talked about learning this new Workday HR system. We're all struggling with it. But we're getting through it. Lobbyist filings, again, very low amount. We have one client and three lobbyists out there. Best practices survey, we'll be sending that out to you folks to complete. If you can get that completed.
For the record, Mr. Wilson, it's already out.
Did you complete it?
Yes.
Nice. Okay, well, for everybody except Commissioner Fiskum that hasn't completed it.
That is retired.
There's still time.
But isn't that? So there's some classes that are going to be required by DAS for staff and commissioners. Look forward to information coming up with that. There's been some bills that passed that, like I said, now that you've always been part of the state, but some of these things that passed on harassment things, you'll be having to take that too. And so we'll do them upstairs on the screen. We'll do them during lunch. You got to listen to the webinar, and so we tell everybody that you folks have listened to that. So, so no harassing anybody.
Before we see
except it. For me during my performance review. Right? There you go. So that's all the things I had, sir.
Right, very good. Thanks very much. All right. If there's nothing else, that is it. We are adjourned.
12:18.
And we have the upstairs.